What if we're right tonight that if you can get in a personal Bible study, 9 times out of 10, they'll obey the gospel? Can you imagine the effect that that would have on this nation? You're concerned about our nation, aren't you? I know I am. And friends, if you're thinking that the solution is political, that somehow if we get the right candidate in office, somehow if we can get the Senate to have the right numbers, somehow if the Supreme Court, if we can just get one more good judge, if you tonight believe that's the solution to our nation, I believe you're dead wrong. Friends, the solution for this nation is right in the pulpits of the United States of America. It's in churches of Christ. Friends, our nation is not gone. There's still hope, but not if we don't believe in what we're talking about tonight. If we don't get involved in personal evangelism, we might as well chalk it up to another nation gone downhill, to another nation lost. Because the only way this nation turns around is if we, as a people of God, get serious about soul winning. So what if we're right? You say, okay, preacher, I understand. What can I do? Well, here's the crux of the matter. How do you get somebody into the study? See, what I've learned through the years is that, again, if you can sit down with somebody, more times than not, they obey. In fact, we've been at Willett for 8 years. There's one family that's not obeyed since we've been there in a Bible study. I can go back to our previous work in Hillsboro. There was one family. I go back to Poole. There was one family. In fact, as I look through and I talk to other evangelists, if you can get them into an organized Bible study, how often do they choose not to obey? It's very rare. So the most difficult aspect is, okay, how do I get mom into a study? How do I get my neighbor into a Bible study? So let's talk about the manner. Did God give us help? Is there something in the scripture that He provided us to assist us in getting from the casual conversation to the organized Bible study? I want you to look at page 7 just for a moment. One of the things that we can do is we can identify the prospects. You see, what we have to do is begin to realize that as we go through life, that we are in a constant search for prospects. One of the greatest and one of the best areas is church, is Bible study, is worship. And friends, when you see someone come into the building and they're not a member of the church, and I know that you do this already, we should be making a beeline. And trying to find out, who are they? Are they a member of the church that's visiting? Have they moved? Are they going to college? Someone from the community? Let's identify them. She sat in our pews literally for years. 2 years. I saw her. I'm preaching. She's on the far, we have a fanned auditorium. She's on the far left side right here. Her name is Callie. I know why Callie's coming, because she's sweet on one of our young men, Clifton. So I know why Callie's there, but this is what I also know. Just about the time we were going to create relationships with Callie, something tragic happened in her life. Her father is a missionary Baptist preacher. Her father died suddenly of a heart attack. And I knew when that event happened in her life, my strategy just changed. My whole plan just changed because I realized there's not just a little obstacle, there's a huge obstacle that we're going to have to work through. You see, she's coming, and she comes as about as regular as some of our members come. But somehow we're going to have to deal with the death of her father because this is going to be an issue. In fact, another year had passed. I said, Clifton, I said, I really want to work with Callie. He says, Robbie, he said, I'm afraid. You know, that's one of the biggest obstacles to personal Bible studies is fear. If we're honest tonight, if you said, why are you not engaged in personal Bible studies? If we didn't put our names on a piece of paper and you had one word to describe it, do you not think it'd be fear? We're afraid. I'm afraid I might ruin my friendship. I'm afraid that I might ruin my family. I'm afraid that they'll never talk to me again. You know, fear is one of the big ones, isn't it? Isn't that one of the categories that's listed by John in Revelation 21? The fearful. You know, we're afraid. We're afraid to talk. And you know, I'm speaking from experience because I was afraid. I said, how am I going to, I mean, I knew that Callie needed to have a personal Bible study because any preacher will tell you that for the most part, people just don't show up at the pew and come forward to obey the gospel. You've had some type of study with them. Now, it does happen. I know you guys have had it here and someone's listened to lessons and they come forward and you've never had a study. But for the most part, people obey because you've sat down and had an organized study. I say, Clifton, we really need to talk with Callie. I know, Rob, but you realize that every time I talk to her, she just cries. I said, Clifton, I've dealt with this in the past. You trust me. I promise. I'm not going to ruin your relationship. But if you won't marry her without her being a Christian. He said, I won't. He said, I told her that. We're not, no engagement, no marriage. I'm not going to marry anyone who's not a Christian. And I gave him a thumbs up for that. That's where he needed to be. I said, let me have you guys over for dinner. You come over for dinner and let's just have dinner together and let's just see what she says. So she comes over and we have dinner together and this is kind of the context of what happened. I'm going to give you two examples in this lesson. This is example one. I've got a Bible study material right behind me. I'm sitting at the breakfast table and I got these booklets. They're sitting right behind me. My Bible's sitting there. Callie is obviously a religious young lady. There's no question. We're talking about some of the immoral decisions that our courts have made recently. So she's fired up about that. We're all fired up. And I say, hey, Callie, can I show you something really neat in the Bible? Oh, I know that seems maybe corny to you. I don't know. But if you'll remember that, that will pay you dividends. I've used that line. It's just a simple statement. Let me show you something neat in the Scripture. Can I show you something neat in the Bible? I've never had somebody say no. I've never had somebody say, no, I don't want to look at it. They're in your home. They're sitting around. You just cooked dinner for them. And you say, I got something really neat I want to show. I never used the word Bible study. That scares people. So I just say, I got something neat to show you. Sure. So I open my Bible and I give her a booklet. I said, turn your Bible to John 8:32. That's the first scripture. And so before long, we're doing a Bible study. We're going to the booklet. And at the end of the booklet, it happens almost every time. She says, you know, I said, Callie, did you enjoy that? I really did. She said, I like that. I'd like to do more of this. I said, well, absolutely. Come back next week. We'll cook a dinner. And by the way, my personal Bible studies is a family effort. Wives, you're indispensable in this lesson. In fact, if you're not willing to do this right here, it's going to greatly hamper the effectiveness of personal Bible study. But if you're willing to do what we're going to talk about, and it's going to take effort on your part, but if you're willing to do this, it's going to greatly multiply the effort here. I said, honey, would you make another meal? And Hannah, would you make your, Hannah's my dessert maker. And Jared, clean up your room. That's a feed in and of itself. Clean up your room, son. We've got visitors coming. And so we all get ready. Here she comes back. We go through lesson two. And Clifton, I call Clifton after lesson two. And Clifton says, Rob, I know where we're going. He said, she's going to cry. I said, it's okay, Clifton. She needs to cry. In fact, if she doesn't cry, there's something wrong. He said, Rob, but he said, this isn't going to go well. And I said, it will. I said, I have every confidence that it'll go well. You know why, Clifton? He said, why? I said, number one, she's honest. She's honest. And when you put an honest person who's willing to study with the Word of God, I have no question about what's going to happen. I have no question about what's going to happen. I believe in the power of the book. And I believe when honest people read the book, study the book, I know what they're going to do because the Word of God's going to do it. And I said, Clifton, just continue to support her. And I said, in the study, Clifton, she's going to start to cry. When that happens, do not apologize for the truth. All you need to do is tell her that it's okay. Give her the tissue. My wife's going to be, Nicole's going to be standing right next to her. It's going to be okay. Her dad has passed away, remember. And so we go through this third study and I can begin her, the eyes start to tear up and I can tell we're at the point she knows she's lost. She realizes it. She also realizes that, wait a minute. What about dad? You know, I'm not a judge. We're not judges. And I always tell people, listen, it's not my job to tell. I don't tell people where they spend eternity, and I'm so glad. But Callie, I said, would you consider the following? Your dad, tell me about him. She starts to talk, you know, her countenance changed. Tell me about dad. He was a good man, worked hard. And I said, was he honest? Oh, he was honest. I said, what do you think, Callie, your dad would do if he knew what you knew right now? If he's honest, if he knew what you knew right now, did he ever know this? No, no one ever taught him. Callie, if he knew what you knew right now, what do you think he would do? He'd obey. I said, then that's what you need to do. But no, but you don't understand. My mom, I want my mom to do it with me and my sister to do it with me. So I'm going to wait. How long? I don't know, but I'm going to wait. I said, now, Callie, let me point something else out to you. If you wait, your mom is never going to obey the gospel. And your sister is never, or your brother is never going to obey the gospel because they're not going to do what you won't do. See, you have to lead by example. And so we're going through this, and there were some other things that we said, but by and large, at the end of the study, I said, Callie, what do you want to do? And she says, I'm ready. It was a difficult evening. Let me give you example number two, because we're talking about how to get into the Bible study. And I was going to spend some time about visitors, but I just don't have time to do that. But this is an email I got, and I wish I had it right here. I could not find it. It's sitting on my office desk, so I'm going to paraphrase the email. Dear Rob, last night, a family visited. I knew they visited. I mean, when I walked in the door, I knew their names are Jimmy and Sharon Fisher. She said, Rob, she's having a hard time right now. She's a kindergarten teacher. And she's had some surgeries recently, and she told me something. She said, you know, the church I attend didn't send us one card, make one visit. She said, we've gone on mission trips with them. She said, I don't know where they've been, so I decided to visit your church. And she said, when I walked into the church, this is the email, people just overwhelmed us. I mean, they asked us who we were and asked us how we were doing it. And she said, I really felt like they cared about us. We wanted to come back. First thing we did, put her on the prayer list. We put her on our prayer list and said, we said to the church, let's send cards. Let's send cards to this family. Let's overwhelm them. And it's not atypical for we'll let them send 100 cards in a week to somebody. I've been in their home. I've seen the stack of cards. I said, well, what are those? That's from that church. I promise you, when you get 100 cards from a church, that makes a difference. You get 50 cards, it makes a difference. And so they got this stack of cards. And so we begin immediately, and she's coming. I said, honey, I said, you know what I need you to do? I need you to cook a meal. I said, I need you to do your dessert. Jerry, clean the house. And so we begin to go through we do evangelism as a family. I'm going to encourage you. You get your children involved in this. My children have always been involved in evangelism. So we get everything ready. And I say, hey, Sharon, Jimmy, I said, would you guys like to come over for dinner? And we'll just, you know, get to know each other a little bit more. And so Sharon tells me, no, Rob, Jimmy's a little bit hesitant. You know, you're a preacher. And I said, that's all right. We're not going to talk about the Bible. We're just going to have, you know, I want to know more about you. Oh, okay, we'll do that. So they come over and she cooks a meal and Jimmy loves to eat. Jimmy's an eater. And so he loves the meal and loves the dessert. And Sharon's a school teacher. And all you got to do is, Sharon, tell me about the school system and just be quiet. And I got an earful. And Jimmy, poor Jimmy, he doesn't get much of a chance to even talk. I said, Jimmy, I'm a security guard for a factory. Jimmy, tell me about, have you had any neat experiences? I'm just making conversation. And then they go home. Great to be with you guys. Jimmy says, you know, I enjoy that. Would you like to do it again, Jimmy? Sure would. I know this is going to take work. See, Bible studies take work. Souls take work, and they deserve it. We're talking about people's eternal destiny. If you're looking for a one-trick pony on Bible studies, I'm not it. You see, what we're talking about is going to take effort, planning, and organization. You have a strategy in place how you're going to do it. I said, Nicole, we're going to have him back next week. I realized, homeschool mom, I know, busy. But honey, we've got to do it. And so we come together as a family, cook another meal. And I help. I know it's hard on her. So I said, honey, if I got a vacuum, I'll run the vacuum. If I got to cook, she doesn't want me doing that, but I'll cook. Whatever it is I need to do to help, but we've got to get him in our home. It's got to be personal. It's got to be a relationship built. And so they come back, and again, we start talking, we eat, had a great time, and we talk a little bit about religion and about the moral decline of our nation. That's something that people want to talk about. And you can tell Jimmy, he's a pretty conservative guy. I just can tell. And Jimmy said, well, you know, we haven't, you know, Rob, he said, my preacher, I've never been in his home. I don't even know where he lives. And Sharon, she was really sick, and no one even came to visit. And I said, I'm sorry, Jimmy. I said, that shouldn't be. I said, it would not be at Will Ed. I promise you that. Would you like to come back for another time? We just get to know each other. I sure would. And so we go through this again, the third time. We go through the whole process. And this time, I've got my Bible sitting behind me with the booklet. And we're sitting there. And I said, hey, Jimmy and Sharon, I've got something really neat to show you in the Bible. Would you like to see it? Sure would. And we go through the studies. I don't like the night before the third study. I don't sleep. I know it's coming. Jimmy and Sharon, up to this point, they have seen the truth, but they don't know they're lost. We haven't got there yet. And I know we're going to get to a point in the study, and we got there, and Sharon is just shedding tears. Jimmy, he is stoic. So I'm thinking to myself, you know, where are we going with this? Because Sharon's, I can tell she's ready. She knows she's lost. Jimmy's stoic, and Jimmy said, well, are you suggesting that I'm lost? I said, absolutely not, Jimmy. That's not for me to suggest. I said, but what we need to do is we need to look at the scripture, and let's look at a few more. And as we began to look at the scriptures more and more, and we got a little bit deeper into the study, he began to realize he's lost. That night, they both obeyed the gospel of Christ. Can I tell you something really exciting about this couple? I take large groups to Jamaica every other year. About 50 of us go. Huge campaign efforts. You know who was on the group? They said, I've been doing mission work for years in Honduras. Now he's going to do mission work for the Lord. You know, Richard Pratt, I talked about him the last session. He's been to Jamaica now three times, him and his wife, Daisy. We were flying back. And I looked over and he was teared up. And I said, Richard, what's wrong? He said, Rob, he said, for years, he said, I did mission trips for my church. He said, all I was doing was, he said, I wasn't helping at all. I said, well, what'd you do, Richard? He said, well, I helped with the children. I said, you were helping. He said, but you don't understand. He said, I wasn't teaching them the truth. And I looked at Richard. I said, Richard, you've done more in the last 10 days than most people do in a lifetime. That you have no reason to hang your head. What we're talking about tonight, brothers and sisters, in my judgment, is the greatest blessing God can give you in this world. If you've not experienced some of the things that I'm talking about, you're missing out on a glimpse of heaven on earth. You're missing out on the greatest gift God gives. When you help teach someone the gospel, when you watch those souls grow, it's absolutely amazing. Okay, preacher, how do I do it? I'm gonna use this quote by John Maxwell. I'm sure you've heard it before, but we're gonna start here. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. If people in this community don't believe that the Jacksonville Church is a caring church, then this isn't going to work. We had a family come to Will Ed a few weeks ago, or a few months ago, and here's what the man said when he pulled up. Is this the church that gives? Is this the church that cares? I said, absolutely. I said, what do you need? And he began to talk about his scenario. That's the reputation we need to have, and I'm sure you have that reputation here. So we're beginning at a great place. Go to page number 9, if you will, and let's look at this is essential, because we're talking about how do you get into the Bible study. And I want you to take your Bibles, if you will, to Acts 2:47. I know I spent a lot of time there today, but I believe we're going to go in a direction that you're not expecting, because most of the time when preachers go to Acts 2:47, we're going to emphasize, and rightly so, that verse teaches that the Lord adds you to his church, and that any church that you join is not the church. You can't be added to the Lord's church. We need to preach that, and preach that regularly. But may I submit something that was true with me? Let me tell on myself. I had preached that part of that verse so much, I neglected another very important part of this verse. You see, that verse says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Do you believe the numbers? Because the numbers are spot on. Pentecost, you have 3,000. You go just a few chapters later, you got 5,000 men. Friends, this was an evangelistic church that we can model after. And what was it that they were doing? What caused people to want to obey? What caused people to trust them? What caused people to want to study with them? I want you to look at this verse very carefully. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Do we have favor with our community? I want you to consider that the word favor means grace on the part of the giver, kindness, being acceptable. Now I want you to take this and we're going to add to this Luke 2:52. We're going to build something here tonight. We're building a case how to get into a study. We're going to start with the church, and I wish I had more time, but the church must establish herself in the community as a favorable church. In other words, she's a giving church. She's a loving church. She's a church that cares about people. Now, that doesn't mean in any way that you compromise the truth, because there are some people who are just not, most people who are just not going to like what you say. But one thing they should not be able to do is say that church doesn't care. If we're going to err, let's err on the side of helping people as much as we can. Find an area of help. You can't help in every area. Maybe it's a food pantry and that's where you help. Maybe it's some type of a benevolent facility. We have one at Willette. It's open every Tuesday. In fact, the governor of the state has even recognized what we're doing. And we're kind of like a local Red Cross center, if you will, but just for the church. And we have this huge building. We open it up every Tuesday, 8:30 to 12:30. And so when people come, they say, we need help. We say, show up Tuesday, 8:30 to 12:30. And we'll help you. So there's always a way you can help. So get organized and do it. Now, I'm sure you're doing something. So here's the second thing. Look at Luke 2:52. Was not he the master evangelist? I mean, if you wanted to learn something about evangelism, why not learn it from the master? And so here's what the Bible says. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. There are four things about the Lord that we could really talk about. Message just to every dad and mom out there that you better be analyzing this verse and working on those four things with your children. Because that's what makes a man. That's what makes a whole person, a young lady. We did it, my daughter Hannah and I, we did a father-daughter night just recently, and I gave her the ring. It's a special ring that dad give their daughters. And this was the verse we read and talked about for 4 hours. Off and on. How can you grow in these four areas? But I want you to look at one of those areas. It's favor with God and man. You see, personally, how do you become a soul winner? You must develop this. You must be able to develop this characteristic that you have favor with God. That means you're true to the book. You don't compromise. And that means when those difficult studies, when you know there's a couple who are not scripturally married, you love God enough to tell them the truth. That's one of the hardest things to do. But you love God enough. You have favor with God first. But you have favor with man. So that means that you develop relationships with people. Do you know, it's interesting that this particular phrase is only used with one other person. I believe it's in 1 Samuel, and it talks about Samuel being in favor with God. And Samuel was such a man. Jesus was such a man. In other words, these were individuals who cared about people. People wanted to be around them. It's quite evident. People wanted to be around Jesus. They loved Jesus. The child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. And so here's the case that we're suggesting, that we need to build relationships with people. And you say, preacher, you don't realize people don't want relationships today. I reject that in totality. They want relationships. The mere fact we've got Twitter, Facebook, iMessage, email, text message, and every other form of multimedia suggests to me what? People want relationships. I believe this nation is ripe more than she has ever been for us to take advantage of this. You say, now, preacher, are you suggesting that we use this in evangelism? No. I'm going to suggest the opposite. This is a terrible way to do personal evangelism. I'd put this down on the last part of my list. You say, well, preacher, what are you saying? Here's what I'm suggesting. That people are social people. Did not God make us as social people? Isn't this evidence of it? And dear friends, here's the fact. People are longing for relationships because they don't have it. They have Facebook relationships. Well, let me tell you what. God made us where Facebook relationships aren't enough. You need more than a Facebook relationship. You know what Jimmy and Sharon needed? Friendship. You know what Callie needed? Someone who cared. See, Facebook couldn't do for Callie what a person could do. Facebook couldn't do for Sharon and Jimmy what a person could do. Friends, this does not replace relationships. What this does is suggest that people are longing for it. Because they want to say, I've got 500 friends. I've got 1,000 friends. You know why they say that? Because they want to feel like they have relationships. That's not enough. That cannot replace what God has done for us. The Bible states, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. Why? Because it wasn't good. Adam needed a relationship with somebody. Are you starting to put some of this together? You see, we have to develop relationships with people. If you're going to bring someone to Christ, you say, Rob, I've got a list. And I bet you can make a list right now of people you would want to bring to Christ. I hope you make that list. You've got to develop this right here. You've got to get them to believe that you care. And genuinely, you do. So let me give you four things that you can do. Four things that we can do. Number one, if any church ought to know this, it's here. I mean, if there's any congregation that ought to have this one down, it's Jacksonville. You've got to open your front door. Friends, we used to be good at this. How many of you who are older remember, would you raise your hand if you remember this? How many of you who are older remember the day when after Sunday service, grandma had the big meal and everybody came over to eat? Okay, put your hands down. We're not doing that anymore, are we? It's too much work. Really? You got a microwave. Grandma didn't. You got a dishwasher. Grandma didn't have that either. You got KFC if need be. And you don't. Grandma didn't go down to KFC. Neither did the elders either. Friends, we got to open our houses. Ladies and sisters, I'm begging you. I'm pleading with you. Would you open your front door, please? Husbands, I'm begging you, help her. Whatever it takes, she says, well, I need that light bulb. Change the light bulb. I want the cobweb. Dust the cobwebs. Whatever it takes to get the front door open, we need to be doing it. We're on page number 10. The Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain which build it. Friends, our house ought to embody Jesus Christ. Jesus ought to be living in our home. Have we forgotten that our homes are a mission statement? Our homes are a statement that we love souls. They should be, at least. And instead, our homes have become islands where we get away from everybody. We don't want people in our home. We don't even want the brethren in our homes. There's something wrong with that. When I was growing up, my door was open. We have people in our house all the time. I understand it's difficult. I realize that this might even be stressful. Too many welcome mats say come back later instead of welcome. Friends, our homes open hearts. Our first century brethren had open homes. They were eating together. They were praying together. They were studying together. And you know the verses. It's on house to house. Acts 2:46. They went from house to house. What does it say in Acts chapter 20 and verse 20? Take your Bibles. Let's go to one maybe you don't know. Why were they so effective? Because they went publicly and privately. These were Christians who understood the value of homes. In verse number 20, the Bible says, how I kept back nothing, Paul says, that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught them publicly and from house to house. We have got to open our homes again. That's the first thing we can do. Number two, we have got to extend hospitality. Take your Bibles, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 13. Let's look at verse 2. I want to ask a question. What's the first thing that you ask when you hear this verse? Let brotherly love continue. Now look at verse 2. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have entertained angels unaware. What's the first thing that members of the church ask when we read that verse? What's the topic of conversation when we read that verse? I'm going to suggest it's not what it should be. Here's what it is. Do you think there are people out here, you know, angels posed as people, and if I don't help somebody that I might get a point taken away or I might have a bad mark because it could have been an angel? And this big discussion about angels occurred. Are there guardian angels? What are the angels doing? Brother, we're missing the point. You know what this verse is about? This verse is about being hospitable. This verse is a verse that's trying to encourage Christians, open your home and extend hospitality to other people. I believe that the discussion needs to be about the first verse in context. Show your love. Entertain people. That is, invite them in and sit down and have a dinner with them. Invite them in and talk with them. And you say, well, Rob, I'm not a cook. Well, I'm not. Here's what you can do. Again, KFC, Domino's, Little Caesars has an advertisement for $5. I'll give you $5 tonight if you'll take this. Get someone in your home. Feed them pizza. But extend hospitality. Take your Bible. By the way, I wish I had more time, but isn't that the qualification of elders? Let's go to Luke. Let's go to Luke 10. 41 and 42. You know their names. Mary and Martha. Let's start with verse number 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She said, come on in. And she had a sister, Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. She was missing the point. She was more concerned about the dust bunny. She was more concerned about the physical aspects of the home, and she was missing the greater issue. Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about a great many things. But one thing is needed. Do you see that phrase, one thing? I'd underline that. That's singular. In contrast to the many things she was worried about. Notice there was this one thing that's important, is needed. And Mary has chosen the good part, which is will not be taken away from her. May I suggest to you, there is one thing that's important, and that's souls. Whether or not your couch has a tear in it is not important. Whether or not you got a scratch in your hardwoods, or you don't even have hardwoods, a stain on your carpet is not important. But the soul is. Would I be far off if I made this statement? That we have brethren who will not open their door and entertain hospitality because they're scared of what someone might think. Let's go to number three. I'm giving you four things you can do to get into a Bible study. We need to hearken. I was looking for an image. I actually put this up there today. I was trying to find an image that represented someone listening, more than just a big ear. You know, this guy's listening. Do you know when Jimmy and Sharon Fisher were sitting in our home? That's what we did. I didn't say a whole lot. I didn't need to say anything. I was just listening. You know what I was listening for? I was listening for clues about where he stood religiously. Here are things that I heard. Rob, do you think that we're in the end times? Because I do. He said, I think Jesus is about to come back, and you know, there's going to be a war, a great war, and Israel is going to be involved. And you know, when all those things are being said, I just listened. You might be tempted to respond. I'm going to deal with that in point number four. Don't respond. Just listen. And whatever it is he talked about, I wanted to know more about Jimmy. I wanted to know more about Sharon. So we've done the home. We've opened that up. We've got the hospitality. Hannah's cooking her pies or making the cookies, and Nicole's made her dinners, and we're sitting around. We're just listening and we're hearkening. You know, James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let everyone be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. You've heard it. God gave you two ears, one mouth. Listen twice as much as you speak, right? Be a listener. You're gonna pick up on things. Some of these things are things that you need to deal with after the conversion. After the conversion, Jimmy and Sharon, we went to Pizza Hut. Jimmy brought up again the Left Behind series. I said, Jimmy, we need to study a little bit about that. I was not going to study about that before the conversion. It wasn't important. I'm waiting. You know, what's important is that he comes to know his Lord and comes to know what he needs to do to be saved and sin. We'll deal with that afterwards. You know, doesn't Matthew 28:19-20 say teach, baptize, and teach? Sometimes we don't do a good job in the third part of that. We don't teach when they're, after they become Christians. You should have an ongoing new converts class. I hope every church has one of those that just keeps going, but we've got to listen. So let's go to the next point, and this is where we're going to spend a lot of our time. This is why we were able to get to Sheila and Jackie. Believe me, when Sheila was making those offensive statements about Christians, don't y'all believe you're the only ones going to heaven? Believe me, I wanted to respond. You know, I don't understand. Why don't you like instruments? I wanted to say something, but I was not going to. I've learned through the years that hesitation, the art of deflection. This is extremely important if you want to get into a Bible study. Don't answer the questions. You say, preacher, I don't get it. Why not? It's not that you don't want them to know the truth, but you want them to know the truth because of what the Bible says and not what you say. You want to be a shower and not a teller. The Fishers of Men program has done a marvelous job emphasizing this fact. And the fact is that we're involved in the showing, not the telling. And that's what I said to Sheila. I said, Sheila, I won't tell you, but I'll show you. When Jimmy and Sharon, they had a lot of questions during the study. And I'd say, that's great. We'll get to it at the end of the study. You know, Sheila had a lot of questions. Do you know how many questions she had when we finished the study? Not many. Because she could answer, Jackie, they could answer the questions themselves. They knew. You see, you don't start with the roof, you start with the foundation. And you build up. When people understand Bible authority, and then they understand the church, then they understand sin and salvation, that takes care of most things. They begin to realize and understand. And so here's where I'm going to encourage you, that Jesus is the master at this very point. They would come to Jesus and ask Jesus all these questions, and what did he say? What saith the law? How do you read it? Or they would come asking one question, and he would answer them with another question, completely different than what they wanted. You know why that was? Because he didn't care? No. You know why it was? Because Jesus had a strategy to save souls, and he realized that where they're going isn't going to help. I'm going to redirect them to where they need to be. All right, preacher. You got me. What do I need to do? I hope I don't have anybody. I didn't come here to get anybody. And this is not about me or my family. Friends, this is about soul winning. What do you use? We use Back to the Bible by Bobby Bates. There's three lessons. But if I had time, I'd go into this next session. And here's where we'd start. It's not about the method. If you use Fishers of Men, keep using it. If you use the Jewel Miller film strips, keep using them. If you use searching for truth, use it. If you use the open Bible study, Ivan Stewart, no doubt, thousands of people come to Christ. The personal Bible study series, use it. Whatever you're using, I'm not here to try to change what you're using as long as you're doing something. If you don't have a Bible study method, I would suggest these are three books. Anyone can use them. Can I illustrate why anyone can do it? Jonathan and Stephanie Royal, we met them in door knocking. They'd moved from Florida, and Jonathan and Stephanie, they weren't interested in a Bible study. But months later, they got religious. They felt guilty. They weren't going to church. They'd gone to church in Florida. They're not going here. And so one morning they got up and Jonathan said, "Hey, let's go down to that Willette Church of Christ." She says, "Why?" He says, "Well, they visited. No one else has." That's literally the conversation. They show up, Willette Church of Christ, and I asked him, I said, "Well, what brings you to Willette?" And he told me that very thing. I said, well, of course, when he said that, I knew that the Bible study is just one question away. I said, "Would you guys like to sit down and talk about the Bible?" "Well, I'd like to know more about this church." So we went through the Bible studies, baptized the mom and dad. But the son, he's accountable. He's of that age, around 15 or so. And Jonathan said, "Rob," he said, "Stephanie and I are worried about our son." I said, "Why is that?" "Because we were in this non-denominational church down in Florida and he got saved and he's not saved, but he doesn't even know it. We're concerned about him." I said, "Well, okay, I'll tell you what. We'll sit down and study with your son." And I love this family. You know what they said to me? No, we don't want you to do that." Now, I was taken by that answer. Then they said to me this. They said, "We want to do it." Wow. You know, those books you know you had, can we have a set of those and we'll do it? I said, "Absolutely, because anybody can do this study." And so they went down and they took their son and they went down through the three books. They finished the books. And I know this because Tom Holland was holding a meeting. I still remember it. We were sitting in the fellowship hall with Tom Holland and the phone rang and I went over to answer the phone and I said, "Jonathan, Stephanie, how are you doing?" They said, "Rob, our son wants to become a Christian tonight." I have permission to use every story I've given you. I have permission. I've asked these couples, "Can I use your example?" And here's where I'm going with this. If a new convert can teach the lost, why can't we? What are we waiting for? If brand new Christians can take three booklets and go through and teach them what they need to do to be saved, then why aren't veteran members of the church doing that? Imagine what would happen at Jacksonville if every family made a covenant and said, "We're going to bring one soul. We're going to teach one soul." I've heard these elders talk about some of the problems that you had starting house to house, heart to heart. I hope I'm getting this right, but you had no money in the bank. You said, "We have to do it." They had faith. May I suggest that you have to do this? We all need to be doing this. Psalm 19:7, consider it. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. You don't have to be an elder, a preacher. You don't have to be anyone special. We just have to be Christians. You don't have to have a doctorate degree. You don't have to go to a preaching school. You don't have to have some criteria or credential or letters behind your name. If you're a Christian and you take the word of God, souls can be saved. You can be older or younger. Say, "I'm beyond my years. I can't do it." Well, that doesn't work. If you're physically able, mentally able, let me give you Bill Benton. He calls me every year. He goes with us to Jamaica. You know how old he is? 92. He's been over 100 mission trips. You know what Bill's best at? We get over there, and here's what we do. We set up a table, two chairs, Bibles, and we just give him Bible studies the whole week. The first year, my father, he was an elder down at Fayetteville. He said, Robbie, I've got, he says, Rob, I've got this man in the church. He wants to come. I said, great, Dad, you don't have to ask me permission. I said, you know, we're in this together. He said, no. We need to talk about this. I said, why? He's 89 years old at the time. I said, Dad, are you kidding me? He said, no, but he wants to go. And I said, he's got to have a doctor's note. I said, he's got to have a doctor's note. And so he gets over there. Do you know who baptized or taught more, had more baptisms than anybody? Bill Benton. And I said, why is that? Does Bill have some type of gift for gab? No. Anybody who knows Bill knows that's not it. You know what Bill does? He opens a Bible and he does the study. He doesn't talk much. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Do you have faith? The faith that moves mountains. Let's resolve together to be soul winners tonight. Let's leave this place and let's look at these four avenues. Let's open our homes. Let's extend hospitality. Let's listen, hearken. Let's hesitate just a little bit. Have a strategy. And let's study the Bible with people. It works. It's wonderful. We're begging. We're challenging you tonight to be a part of this. I'll stay as long as I need to tonight. I'll answer any questions you have. I may not know the answer. And you know what I'm encouraged about Jacksonville? So many of you this morning came out and, you know, I'm a new Christian. Rob, he's a new Christian. She's a new Christian. You're already doing this stuff. But we can always do better. Maybe some of you haven't been doing it at all. Maybe you've been a Christian for 20, 30 years, and you've never even tried to teach someone the gospel. Tonight, why not change your life? Why not say, I'm going to resolve to do this. Because Jesus, when he gave the Great Commission, he gave it to me. He gave it to you. He gave it to all of us. And I'm going to someday stand before God. Did you know what's going to happen? I'm going to give an account. Why didn't you teach somebody? You remember Moses? Oh, Lord, I'm not a good speaker. That didn't work for him. I don't have the guy. Lord, it can't be me. It didn't work for Moses. It's not going to work for us. I challenge every family, husbands, wives, get involved. If we can help you tonight, maybe you just need strength, courage. Maybe you need prayers tonight. Maybe you believe you've sinned. You've transgressed God's law and you're a Christian. Come, the elders, one of the preachers, we'll pray for you. If you're not a child of God and maybe you've heard something tonight that's pricked your heart and you want to study, let it be known. We'll study with you. We're going to open the Bible and have a Bible study. If we can assist you tonight, will you not come? As together we stand and as we sing.